Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the words of John Bunyan, who lived from 1628 to 1688. You know him as the author of Pilgrim's Progress. Last time we looked at an introduction to this piece of work of his, which is called simply Prayer. Today we begin in earnest. What prayer is? First, what true prayer is. Let's talk about the definition. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God hath promised, or according to the word, for the good of the church with submission in faith to the will of God. And then he wants to list all those separate things that he just said individually, so you understand that we have a 10-point outline here for this first section. In this description, he says, are the following things. A, it is sincere. B, sensible. C, affectionate. D, pouring out of the soul. E, to God. F, through Christ. G, by the strength or assistance of the Spirit. H, for such things as God hath promised, or according to his word. I, for the good of the church. J, with submission in faith to the will of God. We'll do the first five this time around. We'll start with sincere. It is a sincere pouring out of the soul to God. Sincerity is such a grace as runs through all the graces of God in us, and through all the actings of a Christian, and hath the sway in them too, or else their actings are not anything regarded of God. And so of and in prayer, of which particularly David speaks when he mentions prayer, I cried unto him, the Lord, with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. Psalm 66. Part of the exercise of prayer is sincerity, without which God looks not upon it as prayer in a good sense. Then ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, Jeremiah 29. The need of this made the Lord reject their prayers in Hosea 7, where he saith, they have not cried unto me with their heart, that is, in sincerity, when they howled upon their beds, but for a pretense, for a show in hypocrisy, to be seen of men, and applauded for the same they prayed. Sincerity was that which Christ commended in Nathanael when he was under the fig tree. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. John 1:47. Probably this good man was pouring out of his soul to God in prayer under the fig tree, and that in a sincere and unfeigned spirit before the Lord. The prayer that hath this in it as one of the principal ingredients is the prayer that God looks at. Thus, the prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 15. And why must sincerity be one of the essentials of prayer, which is accepted of God? But because sincerity carries the soul in all simplicity to open its heart to God and to tell him the case plainly without equivocation, to condemn itself plainly without dissembling, to cry to God heartily without complimenting. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke, Jeremiah 31. Sincerity is the same in a corner alone as it is before the face of the world. It knows not how to wear two faces, two masks, one for an appearance before men, another for a short snatch in a corner. But it must have God and be with him in the duty of prayer. It is not lip labor that it doth regard, for it is the heart that God looks at, and that which sincerity looks at, and that which prayer comes from, if it be that prayer which is accompanied with sincerity. B, it is sensible. It's a sincere and sensible pouring out of the heart or soul. It is not, as many take it to be, even a few babbling, prating, complimentary expressions, but a sensible feeling that is in the heart. Prayer hath in it a sensibleness of diverse things, sometimes a sense of sin, sometimes a sense of mercy received, sometimes of the readiness of God to give mercy. First, a sense of the need of mercy by reason of the danger of sin. The soul, I say, feels and from feelings sighs, groans, and breaks at the heart. For right prayer bubbleth out of the heart when it is overpressed with grief and bitterness, as blood is forced out of the flesh, and by reason of some heavy burden that lieth upon it. David roars, cries, weeps, faints at heart, fails at the eyes, loseth his moisture, Psalm 38. Hezekiah mourns like a dove, Isaiah 38. Ephraim bemoans himself, Jeremiah 31. Peter weeps bitterly, Matthew 26. Christ hath strong crying and tears, Hebrews 5. And all this from a sense of the justice of God, the guilt of sin, the pains of hell and destruction. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord, Psalm 116. And in another place, my sore ran in the night, Psalm 77. Again, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, Psalm 38. In all these instances, and in hundreds more that might be named, you may see that prayer carrieth in it a sensible feeling disposition, and that first from a sense of sin. And secondly, sometimes there's a sweet sense of mercy received, encouraging, comforting, strengthening, enlivening, enlightening mercy. Thus David pours out his soul to bless and praise and admire the great God for his loving kindness to such poor, vile wretches. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And thus is the prayer of saints sometimes turned into praise and thanksgiving, and yet our prayers still. And this is a mystery. God's people pray with their praises. As it is written, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, Philippians 4. A sensible thanksgiving for mercies received is a mighty prayer in the sight of God. It prevails with him unspeakably. Thirdly, in prayer there's sometimes in the soul a sense of mercy to be received. This again sets the soul all on a flame. Thou, O Lord of hosts, saith David, hath revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray unto thee. 2 Samuel 7. This provoked Jacob, David, Daniel, with others, even a sense of mercies to be received, which caused them, not by fits and starts, nor yet in a foolish, frothy way, to babble over a few words written in a paper, but mightily, fervently, and continually to groan out their conditions before the Lord as being sensible. Sensible, I say, of their wants, their needs, their misery, and the willingness of God to show mercy. A good sense of sin and the wrath of God with some encouragement from God to come upon him, unto him, is a better common prayer book than that which is taken out of the papistical mass book from the popes, being the scraps and fragments of the devices of some popes and some friars and I what not what. Prayer is, see, affectionate. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, and an affectionate pouring out of the soul to God. Oh, the heat, strength, life, vigor, and affection that is in right prayer. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I have longed after thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times. These are from the Psalms. Mark ye here, my soul longeth. It longeth, it longeth. Oh, what affection is here discovered in prayer. The like you have in Daniel. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do and defer not. For thine own sake, O my God. Every syllable carrieth a mighty vehemency in it. This is called the fervent or the working prayer by James. And so again, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, Jesus, Luke 22. Or had his affections more and more drawn out after God for his helping hand. Oh, how wide are the most of men with their prayers from this prayer, that is, prayer in God's account. Alas, the greatest part of men make no conscience at all of the duty. And as for them that do, it is to be feared that many of them are very great strangers to a sincere, sensible, and affectionate pouring out of their hearts or souls to God. But even content themselves with a little lip labor and bodily exercise, mumbling over a few imaginary prayers. When the affections are indeed engaged in prayer, then the whole man is engaged, and that in such sort that the soul will spend itself to nothing, as it were, rather than it will go without that good desired, even communion and solace with Christ. And hence it is that the saints have spent their strengths and lost their lives rather than go without the blessing of prayer. Psalm 69, Genesis 32, and so on. All this is too evident by the ignorance, profaneness, and spirit of envy that reigns in the hearts of those men that are so hot for the forms, but not the power, of praying. Scarce one of 40 among them know what it is to be born again, and to have communion with the Father through the Son, to feel the power of grace sanctifying their hearts. But for all their prayers, they still live cursed, drunken, whorish, and abominable lives, full of malice, envy, deceit, persecuting of the dear children of God. Oh, what a dreadful afterclap is coming upon them, which all their hypocritical assembling themselves together with all their prayers shall never be able to help them against or shelter them from. D, a pouring out of the heart. Again, it is a pouring out of the heart or soul. There is in prayer an unbosoming of a man's self, an opening of the heart to God, an affectionate pouring out of the soul in requests, sighs, and groans. All my desire is before thee, saith David, and my groaning is not hid from thee, Psalm 38. And again, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, Psalm 42. Mark, I pour out my soul. It is an expression signifying that in prayer there goeth the very life and whole strength to God. As in another place, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him, Psalm 62. This is the prayer to which the promise is made for the delivering of a poor creature out of captivity and thraldom. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And E, to God. It is a pouring out of the heart or soul to God. This showeth also the excellency of the spirit of prayer. It is the great God to which it retires. When shall I come and appear before God? And it argueth that the soul that thus prayeth indeed sees an emptiness in all things under heaven, that in God alone there is rest and satisfaction for the soul. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God, 1 Timothy 5:5. So saith David, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Many, in a wording way, speak of God, but right prayer makes God his hope, stay, and all. Right prayer sees nothing substantial and worth the looking after but God. And that, as I said before, it doth in a sincere, sensible, and affectionate way. We'll deal with the last five parts of his definition next time. This little book that I'm reading from, called Prayer, is available at the Chapel Library. You can contact them at chapel@mountzion.org. It's free, along with many, many other things. You need to contact them and ask for a catalog, perhaps. Well, thank you for listening. Please look around the site. We have over 3,000 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers, Bible studies on a number of subjects, a blog, a store where you can purchase one of my books. If you desire more fellowship, please consider visiting my YouTube channel. It's called Pasture Lands, or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. And I'll share details if you ask about our street ministry, our Saturday evening Zoom meeting for men, our virtual church for men and women on Sunday mornings now, a couple of in-person churches you might want to visit with me if you are in the area. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. It is, as you hear this for the first time, April the 20th, 2022. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.